Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the realities behind Christmas, and we pray that you would this morning give us fresh insight as we consider the truth of your word, to see again that the wonder and the reality of the word become flesh. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do sit down. I wonder which is your favourite popular Christmas song. Of course, sometimes they can get rather too much when we hear them in the background of shops from mid-October. But some of the popular Christmas songs have also been what's often referred to as Christmas number ones. It's a tradition going back over 60 years. The Christmas number one is the song that is top of the UK singles chart in the week in which Christmas Day falls. In 1957, it was Harry Belafonte and Mary's Boy Child. The Beatles have managed to be number one at four Christmases, amazingly enough. And of course, there was Slade in the 1973 with Merry Christmas Everyone and Band-Aid and Do They Know It's Christmas in the 80s. The Spice Girls managed three consecutive Christmas number ones in the 90s before the spot was dominated in the last 10 years by winners of reality TV shows like X Factor and the like. Well, very few of the Christmas number ones have been much to do with the real meaning of Christmas. But other lyrics from popular music have sometimes by accident pointed us in the right direction. Take the example of Sting, the lead singer of the 1970s group The Police. He recorded a song which included these words: "Everyone I know is lonely, and God's so far away, and my heart belongs to no one, so now sometimes I pray, please take the space between us and fill it up some way." Well, as we look back on the year that has passed, there are times when we can understand why some may recognise that kind of sense of isolation and apparent distance from God that Sting speaks of. But the great news of Christmas is that God has actually answered Sting's prayer. Please take the space between us and fill it up some way. Because that's exactly what God did on that first Christmas day. As we read in our Bible reading from John's Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He, as it were, filled up the space between him and us. God himself has come to visit us and to share our lives. God, the eternal Word, the one through whom God speaks, the always existing divine Son of God, has come into our world as a human being. God, the Word, who John tells us has always been with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the one who is involved in making the world and brings God's light and undeserved love into the world, has become a man. And that means that Jesus shows us what God is like. John continues just shortly after what we read in chapter 1. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Sometimes people say that they struggle to understand God because he seems so remote up there in heaven. Well, Christmas reminds us that God has come himself to show us what he is like. Just for a couple of minutes, we're going to watch a short video called A Christmas Tale, which I hope helps us to feel something of the reality of the truth that God, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, that God has become a human being.
You've heard the Christmas tale before, the Christ born on a stable floor. But think again this Christmas scene. Not all is bliss and sweet serene. Think rusted tools, think grotty shed. Think feeding trough for Jesus' head, where mice and lice and rats devour. A newborn babe is due this hour. Some months before, in Joseph's town, a messenger from heaven came down. Your Mary soon will have a son, the Son of God, the saving one. Mary saw an angel too, unmarried, with a baby due. So Jesus, not yet even born, is subject to the gossip's scorn. A census now to count all men sends our Joseph to Bethlehem. Poor Mary with her pregnant load, 100 miles along the road. And no one came to help that night, no natal nurse to numb the fright. As water breaks and labour starts, the Saviour in a shed imparts. Sing, angels, from the hills tonight. Bring shepherds to this holy sight. Shine, star of wonder, brilliant light. Lead wise men to the child this night. Now Herod got to hear the news. A newborn Christ, King of the Jews. So firstborn sons were culled that year. Such fear, such blood, such death. Such tears. But Joseph, bride, and child take flight. They flee to Egypt through the night, undernourished as they roam, now refugees and far from home. For you, God gives this Christmas story, the coming of the King of Glory.
Well, we've read that God, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. God, the eternal Word, came into our world and took a human body. Jesus then shows us what God is like. And this wonderful truth also means that God has experienced what it is to be human. As we've just been reminded, the Christmas story is familiar to most of us, but it's important to remember that when we think about the Christmas scene, it is not all bliss and sweet serene. God, the eternal Word, became flesh in Jesus and has lived among us. God has shared human experience in all its difficulties and challenges, in the suffering, in the darkness and the difficulty. When I first became a Christian, there was a Christian song around which was quite popular at the time, and it included these words about Jesus. Anywhere you walk, he's been there before. Anything you feel, he felt more. You see, we may never understand why there's so much difficulty and suffering in a world like ours, but at least we can be sure that God is not insensitive to it. God didn't simply, as it were, send his condolences by a long-distance text message. He got himself involved by sending his own son to be born on earth. Jesus, the fully divine Word of God, experienced the harsh realities of life, being born in a manger, not a mansion. And of course, he went on to die a cruel death so that he could save, to be the Saviour, as the angel said to the shepherds that first Christmas night, that those who believe in him might receive the benefits of what he does in his death. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, is the one that John speaks of later in John chapter 1 as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Something he would do through his death, something we recall this morning as we share bread and wine in Holy Communion. So Christmas number one seldom tell us about Christmas, it seems, but other lyrics, like poetry, can express something of people's questions and thoughts. Well, that quotation from Sting doesn't seem to have recognised the reality of Christmas, but in a sense, it asks the right question. God has answered his prayer. Please take the space between us and fill it up some way. Well, that's exactly what God has done, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God shows us what he is like, and that means that he knows our lives and he shares our human experiences. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the wonderful truth that the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And whilst we're all familiar with these words, we pray that the reality of them would have fresh impact, that we would see the extent of your love, that we would see you afresh in Jesus, the one who reveals what you are like, in Jesus, the one who shows that you know what it's like to be human. And we ask for his sake. Amen.